You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. Gang's all here, ready to go. Justin Tucker, the Ravens kicker, will join us in about 20 minutes. He'll talk about the longest kick in NFL history and how it probably shouldn't have happened. Maurice Jones-Drew, the former NFL running back. He's the color analyst on radio for the Rams. Rams with a big win against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the former USC quarterback, NFL quarterback Carson Palmer a little bit later on. You can be involved in the festivities. You can dial us up, email, tweet, all the above, as we always do every Monday, best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked, you didn't like, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at dpshow. Say good morning to Peacock, our streaming partner. Download the app. You can watch for free. And we have nearly 400 cities around America that take this program. Our newest affiliate, Fox Sports New Jersey, 93.5 and 1450 AM, New Brunswick, New Jersey.
Let's go!
Seton used to listen to this channel when you were growing up to see if there were school closings.
That was where you found out a school closing, waiting to hear. It's like St. Mary's Elementary closed. Yes!
Maybe you could announce school closings.
I could do that.
Later on this year.
Full circle. That'd be great.
Home of Rutgers football and basketball, Fox Sports New Jersey. Thanks for climbing on board here, the Dan Patrick Show. All right. Play of the day, stat of the day, poll question, all of that coming up. I mentioned Justin Tucker. Sometimes we take special teams for granted, especially kickers. And you're going to get people who say, well, they're not real football players. But right now, kickers are doing things they've never done before. And you might say 60-yard field goals are the new 50-yard field goals, but no one kicks them with more ease and more success than Justin Tucker. On Sunday, he set the all-time NFL record, and he did it in dramatic fashion. He hit a 66-yarder as time expired, giving the Ravens a two-point win over my Lions, especially crushing for the Lions because the ball hit the crossbar, then bounced the right way for Baltimore. Never mind that the Ravens might have had a delay of game penalty before that and would have ended the game, or they could have probably been way ahead if Hollywood Brown didn't drop three touchdowns. But the final result may have been the signature kick of Tucker's Hall of Fame career. And normally kickers are more of a sideshow on Sundays, but Justin Tucker's a star and an important reason why the Ravens are consistent winners. McLevin, what's the poll question today?
Okay, let's start with Justin Tucker. Would you rather be the greatest kicker in NFL history or a two-time Pro Bowl quarterback who never reaches the Super Bowl and does not make the Hall of Fame?
Do you have a name for said quarterback?
Andrew James Dalton.
Would I rather be Justin Tucker or Andy Dalton?
Yes.
I'd rather be Justin Tucker.
Okay, what if I had said, let's up the ante a little bit. I'll give you Justin Tucker or Joe Flacco? Both Ravens?
That's a little tougher, but I'm going to go Joe Flacco because he was the MVP winning a Super Bowl.
That went a little... Okay, who's in between Joe Flacco and Andy Dalton?
like a Trent Dilfer type? I don't think Trent made a ton of money.
I'd rather be Justin Tucker.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think you have a two-time Pro Bowl quarterback.
Why don't you work on that?
Okay. But you'd rather be Justin Tucker than a quarterback because the quarterbacks get a lot more money, I think.
Well, I know. Let's not factor in the money. I mean, Justin Tucker makes good money. Yes, Paulie.
Justin Tucker makes good money for a quarterback almost. He's at the end of this contract, he's going to make $41 million in his career.
Yeah.
He's the highest paid kicker by far ever.
Yeah. But he's going to be a Hall of Famer. But yeah, I mean, would I rather be him than Trent Dilfer? Yeah. Even though Trent was the quarterback on the Ravens team that won a Super Bowl. By the way, Limerick greeting cards. That's right. Fritzy has made six different Limerick greeting cards. The Limericks include his and her birthdays, Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, Christmas, New Year's, or win or lose, we celebrate. Get your bundle of Limericks and don't worry about buying greeting cards for the rest of the year. Go to danpatrick.com. Yes, Paul.
Don't forget the disclaimer on the bottom. Not guaranteed to be funny.
Yeah. Actually, I saw the greeting cards. They're really sharp. Really impressed by the cards. Not necessarily the limericks, but the cards look really, you know, they're very sharp.
It's all in the packaging.
Yes. Yeah, that's what she said. McLovin, what do you have
okay.
for me?
So last week we did the 2-0 team that you would bet won't make the playoffs. Now we're doing the 3-0. Here are the 3-0 teams. The Las Vegas Raiders, the Denver Broncos, the Carolina Panthers, the LA Rams, and the Arizona Cardinals, I believe.
Okay.
So that's an interesting list. Who would you bet doesn't make the playoffs? You know, obviously the Broncos, Panthers, Raiders, and Cardinals are probably going
to
lead that.
Okay,
list.
I know that there was some trash talking earlier prior to the start of the show about the Broncos' start, because the Broncos are 3-0. By the way, the AFC West, pretty impressive. You look at it and you go, wait, the Chiefs are 1-2. Big win by the Chargers going in there. Denver and Las Vegas have played extremely well. By the way, with the Rams beat the Buccaneers last year with Jared Goff. So I know that we want to look at that and go, boy, they're going to go to the Super Bowl. Or they're going to go to the NFC title game. Now, that's a big win. But also understand that this is October, that we're late September, that they beat them at the, close to Thanksgiving last year. They have that. They have as good a team, but they don't have depth. So as long as they stay healthy, they're going to be in the race. The reason why I didn't pick the Rams to go to the NFC title game or to go to the Super Bowl was because of that division. Because Arizona is good. Seattle, I thought, was going to be good. San Francisco, I thought, would be good. Now, it's only 3 weeks. Because is anybody going to be talking about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers' performance last night? And they probably won't be, because they won. When they lose, that's when you get clicks. That's when people bring this up. And Aaron Rodgers, he's mailing it in. And this Zen-like, like nobody's saying anything. That was an incredible performance by Davante Adams, Aaron Rodgers. And they win. They beat San Francisco in San Francisco. All's quiet. Chiefs are interesting. Why? They lost. And maybe I'm not giving the Rams enough credit, but if Tampa had won, then we would be talking about Tampa's signature win and they beat the Rams. The Rams winning didn't surprise me. I thought the Rams were a better team, and they showed that. But do I think that if I'm panicking, if I'm a Tampa fan? No, not at all. This is September. You know, if you're talking about November, then maybe. But even then, Tampa didn't, you know, panic last year when they lost to Jared Goff. As long as you make the playoffs, this is what it comes down to. Are you making the playoffs? Are you hosting a playoff game? Will the Rams have enough wins to be able to host the NFC title game? Or first two rounds of the playoffs? Like, those are the things that I'm curious about. Are the Rams good? Absolutely. You could say they're the best team in the NFC. I'd have no problem with that. It's three games. This is 17 games. This is forever. Tampa, they were 7-5 after 12 games last year. And I think we get caught up in, we want to give our opinion, our hot take, like every week at this time. Hey, I know exactly how good this team is going to be or not be. We don't know. Like, Denver's 3-0. They haven't played anybody. Jets? Giants? Jags? Okay. 3-0. I'm not impressed. And I think what happens sometimes is we just look at the record. I mean, you look at the Chargers, the way that ended yesterday. The Chiefs could have easily won that game. And then you look at the Ravens. The Ravens went for it on fourth down. You know, they could easily have won those games. Now, they didn't. And I still look at Kansas City as sort of the Golden State Warriors of the NFL. And Patrick Mahomes is Steph Curry. You have to survive those spurts where you know there's going to be a run. And if you survive it, because that defense is not good. And if you look back on their last 10 games, throw out the last game of the season last year against the Chargers. But last 10 games, 8-2, all of those games are less than 7 points. That's the margin between winning and losing. They don't blow people out. And I think that's what you need to watch the rest of the year is, are they playing in these games and then they're not winning those games? You didn't beat the Chargers, didn't beat the Ravens. Last year, you win those games. Big difference here. And teams are going to go for it on fourth down against the Chiefs. Why? Because they think they can get the first down. Chargers went on 4th and 9. You know, the Ravens 4th and 1. To me, that was a no-brainer. Teams are going to go for it against the Chiefs because that's not a great defense, not even a good defense. And you don't want Mahomes to have the football. But the Rams picking up the win yesterday did not surprise me. The Niners winning in San Francisco surprised me. Our Packers winning in San Francisco. That surprised me. Came down to the very end. Mason Crosby with a 51-yard field goal. That one surprised me. Yeah, Paulie.
I don't think you're going to calm down the Rams fans today because that's one of those wins where you're like, you're planning all week. Tom Brady's coming to town. Bunch of celebrities in the stands.
Yeah.
McVay's coming back. He was sick. He was running around like a madman at halftime. And that's, you know, after the Super Bowl hangover for the Rams a couple years ago, it feels like all their decisions were good. The Ramsey trade, the getting rid of Goff trade. That felt like one of those days where it's blind loyalty. Just let's go.
I know, but I just caution. That's all. I'm just
not on a Monday.
I know.
Beating Tom Brady.
I know. I'm just a voice of reason.
You've been around a while.
That's all. Yes, I've been around covering this sport for a long, long time. It's 3 games. We're not even into October. And let me see how this plays out halfway through the season. And I know that's not what this business is anymore. It's like you've got to have an opinion, and it's right now. There are times when I don't have an opinion. Do I think the Rams are really good? Yes, I do. Does that mean they're going to be really good? Like, you don't get this hall pass to the NFC title game just because somebody said, boy, you're really good. Still a tough division. Seattle will get better. San Francisco will be better. And Arizona looks like, you know, they're real. Yeah, McLovin.
All that being said, when the Rams play the Chargers in the Super Bowl, who's the home team?
The Rams will be. This program is brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. You can upgrade to that Dollar Shave Club 6-blade razor. Noticeably smooth shave thanks to their 6 precision-cut stainless steel blades. The perfect shave. You can find it in stores, Dollar Shave Club. What other poll questions do we have?
Well, we also have the 0-3 question. We're going to say, which of these teams has a chance to be actually a playoff team? We might have to change that conversation to who's going to be the number one pick. The 0-3 teams are the Jags, the Lions, the Jets, the Colts, and the Giants.
Oh, boy. Jets don't need a quarterback. Jags don't need a quarterback. The Colts, Giants, and Lions might need quarterbacks if they end up with the worst record in football. By the way, for you Bears fans, just imagine how many times Andy Dalton would have been sacked if he played, or Nick Foles. You wanted Justin Fields. I mean, you got him. And that's why I said we somehow think the Bears are better than the Jags or the Jets. That offensive line is not good at all. Plain and simple. It's a good thing you have 3 quarterbacks because you may need them. Andy Dalton got hurt. Justin Fields, I mean, he hung in there. But that was not pretty at all. The rookie quarterbacks didn't do well yesterday. They acted like rookie quarterbacks. Eagles at the Cowboys, Dallas is favored by 3.5. Normally you get 3 if you're the home team, so they're a little better than the Eagles. If this was in Philadelphia, Philadelphia would be favored against the Cowboys. Yeah, McLovin.
I'm surprised. I thought the spread would be higher for Dallas.
Yeah, I did too. I thought it'd be around 5, but 3.5 for Dallas. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. You got another suggestion on the poll question before we take a break?
Yeah, I actually put up which 3-0 team would you bet? And there might be an internal bet brewing too.
Yes, there was some trash spoken earlier today. There was some trash spoken today.
I was speaking trash. I was speaking refuse.
Fritzy loves his Broncos at 3-0. And I think Paulie or McLovin who challenged the 3-0 Broncos if they're going to make the playoffs? Paulie did? Okay.
I will bet Fritzy the Denver Broncos do not win the AFC West.
Oh, well, I would take that.
Okay, I'll bet Fritzy the Denver Broncos don't make the playoffs.
Okay.
I was trying to get the big one.
That's a little juicier.
I'm taking a shot.
Okay. Todd, you want a piece of that?
Yeah, we could do that. I do have my reservations. I am aware that the combined records of the teams they've beaten are 0-9, and these next 4 weeks are going to tell a lot when you got to play the Ravens.
Okay, what's at stake here?
Browns.
Like, wait, what are you betting?
Todd has to make a meal for the show.
Yeah, but we all lose.
Yeah, why are you doing that? I didn't lose a bet.
Yeah. It'd be fascinating television.
Oh, God. Yes, McLovin.
Paul cannot criticize Todd for an entire week in any form whatsoever. Has to be over the top nice for a week.
Can it
be
on and off the air?
Can it be a vacation week? All right, I'll agree to that.
That's not a big deal for Paul.
Are you kidding?
Are you what?
Are you new here?
No, the Broncos aren't going to make the playoffs. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Oh, I mean, would it be difficult for Paul to do that if the Broncos made the playoffs? Yes, it would be.
What's the percentage of not making the playoffs when you start 3-0?
I don't know. McLovin, can you run the numbers on
that? Yeah, well, we've never had 17 games, but Teddy Bridgewater is solid. It's a little scary. We could have a bad week for Paul.
Okay, remember when management said that the Danettes were solid and improving? Are you guys the Teddy Bridgewater of NFL quarterbacks here? You're solid and improving. Yes, Todd.
Yeah, I think that's about right. They're slightly improving.
All right. We're not going to win you any awards, but,
no,
we'll,
you're
get
not.
You, but we'll get you nominated. You
got me nominated. I got into the Hall of Fame not because of you guys.
Correct.
That's why it's taken so long. They're like, I don't know.
That last 14 years. Yes. Is.
Justin Tucker will join us. He'll talk about the longest kick in NFL history. He'll join us coming up next. Your phone calls as well. Just getting started. 17 after the hour, Dan Patrick Show. Oh, it's been almost 4 years since we announced the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting at Full Sail University. We have over 400 active students, 100 graduates, and they have jobs. That's what I told the students. I even told their parents, you come in, I don't want you to get an internship. I want you to get a job. You're going to learn all facets of the industry, being in the studio, in the control room, in the press box. We have one of our students who was working in the Broncos press box. Got to see Aqib Talib's Super Bowl ring.
That's fabulous.
Yes. But we got grads who are working around the country. And if you or anyone you know is looking to get into the field, give our school a look. And in about half the time, you earn your bachelor's degree. It's in sportscasting, not broadcasting, sportscasting. You choose to earn your degree online or Full Sail's campus, beautiful campus in Orlando, Florida. To learn more about the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting, go to fullsail.edu/Dan Patrick. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. This program, award nominated, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. They go far beyond for their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales, service, financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz Vans, built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into that authorized dealership. Today, we'll talk to the Ravens' Justin Tucker. He'll join us in about 5 minutes from now. We already have our poll question, right, McLovin?
Yeah, well, we start with which 3-0 team won't make the playoffs? The Raiders, the Rams, the Panthers, the Broncos, or the Cardinals?
Hmm.
And we're attempting to make that. Whose career would you want? Ooh. Justin Tucker versus a quarterback.
Yeah.
Paulie threw out Philip Rivers. I think he's a bit too high end.
Yeah, I'd rather be Philip Rivers. 3-0 team won't make the playoffs. I think it comes down to Broncos and the Panthers.
Cardiac Cardinals? They've sort of won. They're in a tough division too.
Yeah. I thought they were going to lose yesterday to Jacksonville. I thought the Lions were going to beat the Ravens. We talked about this on Friday. I said, sometimes you just have these games where you go, well, of course the Ravens should beat the Lions. And I was like, no, that's when you have like a crooked number game. And that's what it turned out to be. Cardinals winning. I know beating Jacksonville. Oh, here's Urban Meyer after the loss yesterday to the Cardinals.
So damn bad for our players and for Jacksonville. We're going to get this thing going. I know I said that last week, but damn, they played hard. And our players played their asses off today. So just got to eliminate some mistakes and learn how to win.
He has 3 losses in September in 7 seasons at Ohio State. 7 regular season losses.
Stat of the day, stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that
what?
Stat of the day.
Top. Trevor Lawrence has 3 losses this month. He has 3 losses in his entire career prior to this. And those were all playoff games. High school and college. Ouch. It's tough. When you're used to winning and you go out there and you think you can make a difference, and Trevor Lawrence didn't look good yesterday, Mac Jones didn't look good. Here are the numbers. Let me see if I have these for rookie quarterbacks, because the numbers, not impressive at all. But this is, they are rookie quarterbacks. They went 0-4 yesterday. They lost by 12 points, 15 points, 20 points, 26 points. They had four touchdown passes combined with 12 interceptions. Sacked 19 times. Combined passer rating of the four rookie QBs, 43.1. It's a tough position when you don't have an offensive line. Jacksonville's offensive line, Chicago's offensive line, the Jets' offensive line. Mac Jones, that Saints defense, give them credit. And boy, this is going to be tough. You want to build up some momentum, certainly with your rookie quarterback, because Tom Brady's coming to town. Here is Bill Belichick on Tom Brady and his return to New England.
Bill, the Bucs are next on the schedule. What kind of challenge do they pose next week in the return of Tom Brady?
Yeah, well, obviously, they're a good team. You know, right now, we're just focused on New Orleans and look at the film, make corrections on that, and then we'll move on.
I like how the reporter has to tell him that the Buccaneers and Tom Brady are next. Bill should have said, wait, Tom's coming to town? Wait, all right. He was also asked about Mac Jones's performance yesterday.
Bill, what did you see on Mac's interceptions?
Where are we? Probably the same thing you saw.
What? What? Yeah, I didn't know what it sounded like. He was auditioning for Affleck.
There's like a little thing in the middle there. He mumbled. You're like, what? Mrs. Arnoldsberger.
Wait, let me hear that again.
Bill, what did you see on Mac's interceptions?
Where are we?
Really? Probably the same thing you saw.
Yeah.
If we could just, for a minute, it's pretty damn funny, that answer. Probably the same thing you saw.
Yeah. Justin Tucker set the NFL record, longest field goal in a game. Here is the call, the Ravens Radio Network, WBAL.
66-yard field goal try for Justin Tucker. It will be the longest in NFL history if it's good. A 66-yard try. Tucker's kick is on the way. It is good! Crossbar, and it tumbles through. It is good! Time has expired. Justin Tucker with the longest field goal in NFL history. The hay is in the barn, and it's mayhem on the field.
Well, that's the Ravens call, obviously. Here's the Lions call, courtesy of 97.1, The Ticket, the Lions Radio Network.
66-yard attempt for Justin Tucker. This game hangs in the balance with the longest kick in the history of the National Football League on the line. Tucker's ready. There's the snap. Spot down. Kick on the way. It is up, and it is off the crossbar and through. Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me?
That's mean. Yeah, see.
You know, in the Ravens call, we almost had a replay of that call from a couple of weeks ago. We're like, goal! Oh, no, it went hard. Goal! Yeah. Oh, no.
That was the Vikings last week.
Yeah, that's right. The Vikings called, goal! Oh, wide right.
So, Justin Tucker with the game-winning field goal. And 1917, Ravens improved to 2-1. They visit the undefeated Broncos on Sunday. And Justin Tucker, the Ravens kicker, joins us on the program. Did you sleep last night, Justin?
It took a while to let the adrenaline subside, but I was able to get a couple hours before my wife and I got up and got our kiddo on the way to school. So, it's all good stuff, though. All good.
What are you thinking on the sidelines?
I'm just hoping to get the opportunity more than anything. And then the fact that we did, and then we're able to come through, all of the stuff that goes with that kick at the end of the game. I mean, you just, first and foremost, you want to, make the kick and win the game. And then, as we're lining it up, I kind of realize that, we have a chance to make history right here. This could be pretty special. But, you know, all that stuff going into the kick, you know, all of the feelings, all of the thoughts, all of the emotions. And I've said this, I know we've talked about this before, Dan. You know, I've said it before that, you know, your feelings in those moments don't matter. What matters is executing. What matters is seeing Nick Moore throw back a perfect strike with the snap, 12 o'clock laces that Sam can just spot quickly. You know, what matters is, the other, eight guys, you know, just holding their blocks just long enough to, you know, help, to allow us to get the ball off in the first place. And then, just trusting my technique. And when you're that far away, you got to, you know, both trust the technique and also sacrifice some of it to just power the ball. You know, from 66 yards away, you got to put everything you can into it. So, you know, it's thinking about the process, you know, thinking about the action and not the consequence. And then, when it's all said and done, then you can let your feelings and your emotions take over and enjoy the moment and celebrate with your teammates and know that, what just happened was, you know, was special. It was amazing to be a part of it.
Did you hear the ball hit the crossbar?
I did. It sounded, it sounded like what I feel like my stomach was doing. Just dropped inside of my, just dropped inside of me. And I'm thinking that, I just didn't have enough to get it there. And sure enough, it bounced the right way. You know, after, you know, having a couple of doinks in recent memory for myself that didn't go my way, to have that one yesterday afternoon, work in our favor is definitely a good feeling.
Where's the football?
It's upstairs right now. I just came down to get on this Zoom call with you. But it's upstairs right next to my backpack. I was holding on to that thing from the moment we from the moment we kicked the ball. And one of our I said this yesterday, like in our post game media availability, we've got an awesome group of firemen that work in and around our facilities, and they travel with us. Some of them travel with us on game days. But Avon is always down there under the goalposts to, you know, retrieve the football. And he didn't even let it hit the ground, bounced off the crossbar. And I knew the kick was good, not after seeing it hit the crossbar and then, you know, kind of fall over. But I saw Avon stick his hands straight in the air and, you know, to signal that the kick was good and then also to catch the ball. So, Avon did an excellent job of, you know, not just catching the football, but running it out to me, to give it to me. And then I said yesterday as well, Yancey, one of our other firemen, he prepares the K balls for Sundays. And then for us, throughout the practice week, they were like some of the first two people that were out there on the field celebrating with us. And it really can't be understated how important the, you know, just every you know, it just speaks to the importance of everybody within our Ravens organization. You know, it doesn't matter if you're the starting quarterback or you're, you know, one of the firemen helping with the menial day-to-day tasks. Every single one of those things, every single one of those little details, you know, Yancey preparing the game ball to where it is serviceable, just serviceable enough to make it 66 and an eighth yards when it needed to. And then, you know, Avon just retrieving the ball and running it out to us. You know, it just speaks volumes to, you know, how our whole organization operates. You know, it's not just one guy. It's not just 11 guys. It's everybody, you know? So when that ball left my foot, it was like the whole organization, it was like the whole city was along for the ride. And, you know, I tried not to feel that in the moment, but it's impossible not to after the fact, to just, you know, really, really enjoy it.
Justin Tucker's 66-yarder clips Matt Prater's 64-yard field goal back in 2013 as the longest in NFL history. What does the Hall of Fame ask for? The ball? Shoes?
They kind of asked – I just got off the phone with Chad Steele, Ravens, you know, media relations. And he asked me, hey, the Hall of Fame is asking for basically any and everything from the game that you would like to give them. And I'm having a tough time parting ways with any of it just because, you know, there is some, I guess, some immediate sentimental value there, but they're going to get my uniform from the game. I'm holding on to the ball. I feel like I really want to keep that. And then they want my cleats too, but they were a new pair this week, and I tend to try to make my cleats last at least 2 to 3 games, especially the black cleats, because they don't show dirt as much. So if I can get those guys to last me like 2 or 3 weeks, then, you know, maybe our friends in Canton, they can have them, you know, maybe like a month from now. But I mean, hey, all that stuff is, you know, all that stuff is all good and well. You know, if you're going to try to get, you know, every single piece that went into that one play on display in Canton, I don't think it's possible. You know, I mean, you're going to have to take, you know, Nick Moore's arms and Sam Cook's hands and every single glove of the lineman blocking for us just to give us a chance. I think you'd have to take Sammy Watkins' gloves and, you know, Lamar's arm and, you know, the defense just for, you know, hanging in there just long enough to, you know, just not giving up a touchdown at the end of the game and holding them to a field goal. And we have what, 64 seconds left. It's just, again, it's just every single piece, you know, that you could think of should probably go into the hall along with, you know, whatever they want from me on my end.
If there had been a delay of game penalty, where there should have been a delay of game penalty, it would have been 71 yards. What would you have said to Coach Harbaugh attempting a 71-yard field goal?
I don't know if I would have said anything. I probably would have just run out there anyways and tried to give it a whirl, and all the while knowing in the back of my head that I don't think I quite have 71 in me today. But that's just the type of mentality that you have to have in a moment like that. You know, you just have to let the adrenaline take over and hope for a little divine intervention somewhere along the way. But everything kind of happens for some serendipitous reason, right? I mean, the not calling of a delay of game penalty when it's what, like a second past the clock. I mean, like I can think of plenty of instances where, you know, it goes the other way. You know, another team gets a break that, you know, one could argue it should not have been there. It just like that stuff happens in football. And you know, I don't think it takes away from how special that moment was for all of us anyways.
Well, congrats there, Justin, and good luck against the Broncos. I think you could probably do 71 in Denver.
I guess we'll have to see. That's why I'm not going to retire the cleats quite yet. You know, I think they might have some more. They might have some more
magic.
Big kicks.
Yeah. Hey, congrats! Thanks for joining us. We appreciate your time as always.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
That's Justin Tucker, Ravens kicker. Yeah, it was delay of game. That would have pushed him back to 71 yards. And then I wonder if you just do a Hail Mary instead, because I don't think that, as he said, I mean, that barely made it. Even in warmups, he was short on 65-yard attempts. And then you get to a 66-yarder. In your mind, you got to be thinking, you know, but you get adrenaline going. And you're like, yeah, like, yeah, I'm out there. But if you're a Lions fan, oh, speaking of which, Jeff in Detroit joins us on the program. Good morning, Jeff.
Out of all the people you put on first,
yep.
You put him on first.
Yep.
Dan, let me just talk to you like you my homeboy for real.
All right.
Nah, we had yesterday National Law Enforcement Day at the stadium. Thanks to the force, they gave all police officers, fallen families, discounted tickets and some pretty good seats. Where we were sitting at, when you saw him line up, first of all, I told them, if you have Lamar Jackson on the other side, you have to go up for fourth and inches. The guy is spectacular, and he doesn't ever rest. When he hit my man in the middle of the field, it was pandemonium at that point. Then you see the ball as it goes through the uprights, and from where we were sitting, it looked like it fell backwards. Then you saw the officials stick their hands up, and I've never heard a crowd go from cheering to screaming. It literally sounded like somebody was murdered in the crowd. You could just hear people screaming and hollering. It was one of those things that, honestly, I mean, it's a Lions type thing, but the entire day, people were walking around in the fog looking at each other like, what the hell? You could start a conversation with somebody and just not even know what they were talking about. Like, man, for real? Yeah. I mean, how? You know, and we just kept saying that. It's like the most Lions thing. Juxtapose that to Matt Stafford and doing well and just, I mean, it's like watching a beautiful girlfriend that you once had just driving in a convertible by you waving while you stuck at the bus stop, bro. That's what I can liken it to. Life as a Lions fan. We're the Charlie Brown of the NFL. And like you said, the zero on the clock with the delay of game penalty. Yeah. Thank you, Dan.
Keep your head up, Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. That's Jeff in Detroit. Just a coincidence that we went from Justin Tucker to Jeff in Detroit. Just a coincidence. Our play of the day is up next here on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play's called play. Of the day.
Check this out.
He kicks it. It will be short, and Jamal's going to bring it out of there. To the 5, to the 10, to the near sideline, 20-yard line. Jamal Agnew still on his feet. Jamal Agnew broke a tackle to midfield along the left sideline. Jamal Agnew, he's still in bounds. He's still in bounds. He's going to score. Jamal Agnew brought it all the way back. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Are you kidding me? The Jags have taken the lead.
That's courtesy of 92.5 FM, Jags Radio Network. Jamal Agnew, 109-yard kick return after the missed field goal. He also had a kickoff for 102 yards and a touchdown in week two, making him the first player in NFL history to record touchdowns of 100-plus yards in back-to-back games. That's the play of the day. Play of the day is brought to you by M-Drive. Compete against the younger guys. The supplement for driven men that supports healthy testosterone levels and boosts energy. Visit mdrivedan.com. Free shipping, 60-day guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refine your prime with M-Drive. When you think about it, when you're on the field goal unit, how many great tacklers are on a field goal unit? Not the kicker, not the holder, not the long snapper, not the lineman. Do you have a designated tackler when you attempt a field goal like that? I go back to Alabama and Auburn, where Auburn had the kick six, and you just start to wonder, okay, somebody gets a couple of blocks, they got speed, you have a speed guy on your, like, I don't know how that works when you're kicking a long field goal. That, do you have tacklers out there? I know they're football players, but are you athletic enough to be able to track down, chase down Agnew or somebody like him? Yes, Todd.
You would think there'd have to be one spy who stays kind of back a little bit. Just like when you're playing a very mobile quarterback, you know, you always get frustrated if your team is giving up all these runs.
Yeah, but who is going to be your spy? Like, you're going to have somebody out there on the field goal unit whose job is to just spy, yeah, in case you miss the
really
field.
One really fast guy. Once he gets by everybody else, you got that one guy that's going to track him down before he gets to the end zone.
But then you lose a blocker.
You lose a blocker. Better than giving up a touchdown.
No, you don't put somebody out there to spy. Yes, McClellan.
Yeah, because if you lose a blocker, then someone runs in and blocks it.
No, I know. I know this is random here, but I'm watching football all weekend long. And when Jerry Rice and Brett Favre come out in the backyard and they play that pickup football game, it makes me, it reinforces the mindset of, I never want to retire. Like, you look at those guys and they come out there and they're like, hey, what's Brett Favre and Jerry Rice doing in retirement? Oh, they're going out back. They're playing Jimmy Lipper and Dennis and Tommy and Skippy. And, man, they're dominating. And the fact that they're as proud of that as they are when they won the Super Bowl or Super Bowls, it kind of felt bad for Brett Favre and Jerry Rice. It's like, wow, man, what happened to you guys? I mean, you know, the copper fit, good for them. But you're out there. Favre doesn't look that mobile. And Jerry looks gettable.
More mobile. Favre, Roethlisberger, yes.
Favre. Favre. I like it. Remember everybody said, oh, you know, Ben's in best shape of his life. He's doing the Tom Brady pliability. No, it's called liability. He's a liability out there.
Wow.
Yes. Oh, he's in shape. Look at him. No, I think he shaved his beard. Like Ben doesn't look good. Okay. Can he look good? I guess. But I look at the number of short passes that Ben threw. Najee Harris, running back, was targeted 19 times. Doesn't that tell you everything about this offense? Hey, we'll try to run the ball, and then if we do throw, it'll be really short passes. Man, not a good team right now, obviously. But Ben, I don't know what people expected. Hey, you know, we can sprinkle some magic dust, you know, like Breeze and Brady. You know, Ben can be just like them. Last call for Ben. Yeah, Paul.
Do you see, you're talking about targets. Devontae Adams of the Packers was targeted 18 times yesterday against the Niners. The second most was 4 on the Packers. Like, they should put up a sign when it's a tight play, like 3rd and 11. We're going to throw to Devontae Adams. We're just getting it out there, letting everybody know. It's not even a consideration to go elsewhere.
You could go up there with the audible. You know, you could do Omaha, and just say, Devontae. Well, Rodgers calls him Tay. You know, you just throw the ball to Tay. Everybody knew. Everybody. He had 18 targets. You know it, and you don't stop it. Yeah, it's McLovin.
There's a lot of debate out who's the best receiver in football last year. This year. And you know whose name is in there all the time now? Los Angeles Rams.
Oh, Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, leading the league. So now, like, I saw on Twitter last night, is Cooper Kupp the best receiver? Is Diggs the best receiver? Is Adams the best receiver? It's a whole new class of dudes.
But I think that you like a receiver, you see what he's doing, but it's a partnership. It's the receiver, the quarterback, the offensive line. And Matthew Stafford's getting time, Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp is a very good wide receiver. But, you know, he got hurt, but he still comes up with big plays. But I would probably go with Devontae Adams. I just don't like, you know, when you say, oh, that who's the best wide receiver? I don't know. DeAndre Hopkins was the best receiver last year at one point, right? Like I don't know. Diggs was the best wide receiver at some point. Jamar Chase, is he in the conversation this year? More on the Rams win over the Buccaneers coming up. Close out the first hour with Panini America. If you were just watching earlier in the show, you saw me get my new shipment of Panini trading cards, the exclusive trading card partner of the NFL, NFLPA. Panini America utilizes iconic brands like Donruss, Prism, and Contenders to deliver instant classic trading cards of the most popular players. Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and so many more. Autograph cards, memorabilia cards, rare inserts, hottest rookie cards. There's something for everyone in Panini America packs. Marquee Week 4 matchups that could have a big impact on the football card market. How about Joe Burrow and his Bengals versus Trevor Lawrence and the Jags? Tom Brady going back to Foxborough, a mega matchup against his former team, the New England Patriots. Big Ben trying to hang on. He meets up with Aaron Rodgers in a Super Bowl 45 rematch. Start or continue your collection now. PaniniAmerica.net. PaniniAmerica.net, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show.